Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 18. I'm going to be in verses 28 through 38 this morning. Jesus' testimony before Pilate. John 18, 28 through 38. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but they could eat Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would have not delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that your word would take root in our hearts and minds and our lives, and that it would grow and be fruitful, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would impress your word upon our hearts, and that you would help me this day as a mere man to proclaim a holy word. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, by all gospel accounts, has been brought before first Annas, then Caiaphas. In other gospel accounts, we learn that he's then the entire Sanhedrin. Jesus is brought before. Pastor James has mentioned this. He's made it through all the illegal trials. They're illegal, the Jewish trials, because no trial was to be held during the time of the feast, as Pastor James mentioned, right? If the death penalty was given, a night must pass before the sentence was carried out. However, only a few hours passed before Jesus was placed on a cross. No trial was to be held at night, but this trial was held before dawn. The accused was to be given counsel or representation, but Jesus had none. The accused was not to be asked self-incriminating questions, but Jesus was asked if he was the Christ. And the Jewish leaders have charged him already with blasphemy, and we get that from many places, but John 5:18 says that this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father by making himself equal to God. If you are the Son of God, you can call yourself no other, right? The Jewish leaders have done all this. They've acted in unrighteousness, right? Paul says in Romans 1 that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. By their unrighteousness, they suppress the truth, right? For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For the invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. God promised to send his people a Savior, right? The Messiah. But they rejected him. And Jesus told us why this would happen back in John 3, right? Verse 18 through 21, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." The wicked deed of the depraved hearted in this text are in reality condemning themselves to death, while at the same time fulfilling the cause by God's sovereign work of redemption to all who believe. So who is this Jesus on trial? John first reveals him in John 1 as Creator. Right? John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." When God created Adam, in Genesis 1, verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We see Christ revealed in creation, even in Genesis. We see him as Creator in the beginning and righteous judge in the end of the book, right? Revelation reveals his judgment against all his enemies. It's an inheritance for his saints. But this morning we find ourselves at the pinnacle moment in human history as Jesus has put on humility by setting aside his heavenly glory, by becoming a man. He has lived righteously. He has gathered his disciples who he would soon indwell with the Spirit he promised to be his witnesses. But first, he must die for the purpose of redemption. The sinless Son of the living God is on trial with a death sentence attached to it by mere men, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, according to Acts 2:23. And as we look at Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the truly righteous one, on trial before evil men, there's great hope for us. We see this great hope in verses 28 through 32, and that Jesus is Savior, right? In verses 33 through 36, that Jesus is King. And in verses 37 through 38, that Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is Savior by his sacrificial death according to specific prophecy, right? Verses 28 through 32. "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside and said to them, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' And they answered him, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.' Pilate said, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' The Jews say, 'It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die." So the botched Jewish trials were over, and now we see Jesus being brought before Pilate early in the morning. We see why in verse 31, because it was no longer lawful for the Jews to put anyone to death, right? According to the law of Moses, you could put a blasphemer to death, right? That was a death sentence. But capital punishment had been taken away from the Jews by the Romans in 30 AD. So they took him early to the governor's headquarters, right? This is where court took place. Some translations say praetorium, which comes from the word praetor, which is our word proctor or judge. It was the judgment hall, right? So they take him to the governor's headquarters. They were there early to get this over with, right? They wanted to be first in line. I guess courts could fill up fast. They wanted to be there early. They were done with what they needed to do. And so they bring him early before Pilate. It says, they themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but they could eat the Passover. This is interesting. This is interesting because God gave no laws concerning entering a house of a Gentile, right? So that we see in this statement just how ignorant they are. They had no regard for the promised Messiah. However, they went out of their way to make sure that they were not ceremonially unclean, right? This is real prejudice. You know, this is real. They don't even want to be in the same room as these people. They wouldn't go under a roof with a Gentile just in case because they didn't want to defile themselves. And their depravity is so deep. And what they fail to realize is that there is more pollution in themselves than they can contract from entering a building, no matter how profane it is. And they carry their attention to detail to the excess and neglect the most important things. Paul says to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Titus 1:15. Hypocrisy is careful to perform ceremonies, but happily neglects the most important things. The irony in this is that while wanting to avoid unclean people, they seek to kill the promised Messiah. Really, probably, they're keeping Pilate more clean, if anything, right? They're the most defiled ones there, right? They don't want to enter so that they won't be ceremonial unclean, but yet they are there to kill the Son of the living God, their promised Messiah. So Pilate comes outside and he says to this crowd, what accusation do you bring against this man, right? Listen to their answer. If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. This sounds like politics at its finest, doesn't it? If he weren't doing evil, we wouldn't have handed him over to you. This sounds like political debates we see on YouTube. It's bad. It's bad, 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 and we shouldn't do it. All right. This statement gives no information other than they have further broken their own law by calling what is good evil. Right? Isaiah 50:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those. The truth that everyone in that crowd knew is that Jesus had just spent the last 3 years healing all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of infirmities, all kinds of diseases, casting out demons, doing many signs and wonders, and not a single error could be found in his teaching, and he taught every time it was available for him to teach. Every morning during the feast, he was in the tabernacle. No one is good but God alone, and the Jewish leaders just called God evil. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show about what kind of death he was going to die. Again, Jesus is Savior by his sacrificial death according to specific prophecy. Pilate's not ignorant of what's going on, right? He's not ignorant. Jesus was an issue for him also. A few days earlier, hundreds of thousands of people held him as king, right? He had cleared out the temple several times. Pilate's in the know if anything's going on in Jerusalem, right? Judas had secured a band of Roman soldiers. Pilate knew what was going on. Pilate has heard the name of Jesus, right? I'm pressed to think that he's giving them a pass to kill Jesus themselves. But they remind him of the Roman law that they can't. You've taken that right of capital punishment away from us. Nevertheless, all of this is taking place for a specific reason. This was to fulfill the words that Jesus had spoken. By what kind of death he was going to die, right? The Jews, they threw people down, right? In a pit, or threw them down on the ground and they stoned them to death. That was the method of killing by the Jews. The Jews no doubt killed Jesus, but by the hand of the Romans execute by crucifixion. And what is it that Jesus has spoken? In John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Right? In John 8:28, "So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me.'" All that had been spoken of the Christ had been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus. All that had been spoken of in the Old Testament about the Messiah who would come has been fulfilled by the person and work of Jesus. Jesus is Savior in that He accomplished the will of His Father, right? We are sinners all, like the Jews. We think we are good because we judge ourselves by other people. But God has set the standard for good, and Jesus has fulfilled it. Right? Jesus is sufficient to save. It is by faith in Jesus that His perfection is given to our account. It is by faith in Jesus that His death is the sufficient wage for our sin. What is sin? It's a wage that is owed. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Sin is a debt that we owe. It's punishable by death. Jesus paid this debt. His death was sufficient to cover a multitude of sin. It is by faith in Jesus that we receive eternal life with Him. We must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from our former way of thinking and living. Because not only is He Savior, but Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Verse 33 through 36 says, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' And Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say this to you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world.'" Some translations say from this realm. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Listen to his response. "Do you say this of your own accord?" You think Pilate confessed Jesus to be the King? No, he says, "Or did others say this about me?" Right? And if so, where are they at? Right? Everything had to be established for the death penalty according to witnesses. Where are the witnesses? If you're not here to as a witness against me, where are they at? Right? Where are the witnesses? "Did others say this about me to you?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" We see more dialogue in some of the other Gospels. But John is an evangelist, right? His reason for writing this account is that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you would have life in His name. And what John records is certainly life-giving. Listen to Jesus' reply as He reverts back to the first question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus responds, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." It's not, my kingdom is not of this cosmos, this orderly world system. Christ's kingdom has nothing to do with geopolitical climate or worldly, orderly systems of governance, right? If this were the case, he would have had his servants defend him from being bound by the Jews. This wouldn't have been a problem considering hundreds of thousands of people were throwing down palm branches and crying out, "Hosanna," right? Just a week earlier, hailing him as king, he could have very well had an army, right? There were probably only 3,000 Roman soldiers on the island at the time and hundreds of thousands of people shouting Hosanna. If Jesus would have wanted to, he could have overthrown them all. But his kingdom is not of this world. This is a powerful statement by Jesus that proves his statement to be valid. He says, "But my kingdom is not from the world. My kingdom is not from this realm." Jesus is Savior. He is also King and Lord. The evidence that He is our King is that we are His subjects, right? Obedient slaves. And so who is it that will inherit the kingdom of God? Who is it who will enter His kingdom? Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." These are those who are spiritually bankrupt, who have seen the depths of their sin cry out. Because what else can you do but cry out for mercy, right? The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Colossians 1:13 says, "He, Jesus, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Followers of Jesus are no longer of this world. We have been transferred to the kingdom of Jesus, the very kingdom He is speaking about here in John 18. Right? Paul says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are no longer of the worldly system, but we are in it to influence it for Christ's continued redeeming work. You're not of this world if you're in Christ. You're not of this world. You're in it to influence it for Christ. Amen? Jesus prayed this in the previous chapter, John 17:15-18. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Protect them. We saw Jesus do that earlier in the chapter. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." There it is. You're not of the world, believer. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world," Jesus prays to the Father, "so I have sent you into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." We're not of the world. We have been sent from heavenly places into the world to be light, right? Jesus is the light of the world. He calls us the light of the world. Don't hide your lamp under a basket, but let it shine for all to see, right? We are the light of the world. Our own worldly system has gone from orderly to chaos. There's propaganda on the left, right, and up the middle. Laws have been enacted that are being pushed that call evil good and good evil. It's a system that has corruption within, spreading panic and fear. And I'm not just talking about the government itself, but it's people. Right? There are a lot of Christians who are in fear. We're not of this world. If you're a young Christian, do not be driven to fear by what this world says. Christ is our King, and it is His kingdom that we belong to. We are to fear God alone, for He causes all things to come to pass. Christians in this nation, under this worldly system, have no reason to worry, because we have the truth. We have the truth. We have the truth of God. It is the lost amongst us who are to be worried, and never has there been an opportunity in any of our lifetimes like the one that is before us right now. The lost are terrified. The lost are fearful. Jesus says, "Father, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world." Jesus said in John 9:4, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work," right? There was an urgency in Jesus to proclaim the truth because an end was coming to His earthly ministry, right? And I pray that you would be gripped by this same urgency to proclaim the truth of your King while it is day. While there is still physical life in you, night is coming. You can look at that the other way. The end is coming. People in this day and hour are tired of being lied to. They're ripe to hear truth that has the power to save. Our focus is Jesus' focus. Our kingdom is His kingdom. We are not of the kingdom of this world. Jesus, or Paul, writes in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You who are in Christ died with Him and now live in Him." All right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus is the King of kings, and the King has summoned and charged His subjects in Matthew 28. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" What a promise. Jesus is the King of heaven. That is not of this world. Right? This is not to say that His kingdom is disconnected from this world, as though it doesn't matter. But it is greater than this world. Right? He has come first to conquer sin and death by His life, death, and resurrection, that we may be free from the bondage of sin and have hope for eternal life. When He comes again, He will come with judgment, and He will judge. As we follow our King, often it feels as though we are swimming upstream against the current of our culture. We can't give up and float downstream. We can't change the current of the stream. Instead, we trust Jesus for strength to keep swimming upstream and for opportunities to call other people to join us. Amen. Let us serve our King and live and labor for His kingdom. For His kingdom. Jesus is the King who presides over all kings. And He is the truth. Right? He says, "Then Pilate said to Him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.' Pilate said to Him, 'What is truth?' After He said this, He went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt in Him.'" It's interesting, the depth of Jesus' statement about His kingdom to me and how life-giving that is. And Pilate and his blindness doesn't even guess here Jesus, all he heard was king, kingdom, right? Oh, so you are a king. So you are a king. And Jesus says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. The truth that Jesus bears witness to comes from God. John 8:40 says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Truth is most often viewed as relative in this world. As that is to say, something that can be controlled, right? You can twist the truth to benefit your cause. Y'all seen this lately? It's relative. This is how many of our own postmodern culture view truth. It can be tampered with. If it can be tampered with, it's not truth. Truth is fixed. Truth is fixed. It comes from the mouth of God, who himself never changes. Jesus came to reveal God's truth. We can't twist it. We must submit to it. Truth is the instrument God uses to call men into his kingdom. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. Every person is born into slavery, held captive by sin and deceived by Satan, the father of lies. His lies fill the world. And his biggest lie being that we can find happiness apart from God. This is how we're taught to think in the world, isn't it? If you can win his love, you will find happiness. If you're successful at your job, you'll find happiness. If you buy that product, you'll be happy. If you're invited into the inner circle, you'll have happiness. The world feeds us lie after lie, each bigger, bolder, and more outrageous than the last. Jesus speaks truth. Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. He is the truth. Those who feast on the words of Jesus, who trust Jesus, who responds to the truth of Jesus, are no longer slaves to Satan, who has deceived the world, who has deceived the nations. John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom is found only in the truth of God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, notice, he doesn't advance his kingdom in earthly ways by use of the sword, but by use of his words. That's why Peter was rebuked, right? He wasn't here to establish an earthly kingdom and reign on the earth as king at this time. Peter wanted to make it about that, chops off the high priest servant's ear, and Jesus heals him, tells Peter to put his sword away. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. This is not what we're doing here, right? Jesus doesn't advance his kingdom in this day and this hour by use of the sword, but by use of his words. Jesus did not come, as the Jews expected, to establish military rule and defeat all his enemies by the sword, but through the word of the cross, the gospel of our salvation. It is the truth that Jesus proclaims that sets men free. The truth makes dead men alive. The truth makes the spiritually sick well. The truth makes the rebel walk upright by his words, his truth. It is the truth of the word of God that sanctifies us, causing us to live as humble subjects to the King of glory. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, Jesus says. Have you come to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? The only name by which man can be saved from the sin and wrath of God that is coming. Or do you seek to save and preserve yourself? Is Jesus the Lord of your life, King of your life? Are you His subject, submitted to His command? Or are you more subject to the sinful desires of your flesh? Is your trust your anchor in the truth that Jesus bears witness to, or is it in some false hope that you've read on Facebook? Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, Jesus says. We can trust in His truth because it is from the only God. Pilate said to Him, "What is truth?" What is truth? Pilate asked this question not to know the answer, but he's asking in mockery, in criticism. What is truth? For to Pilate, truth is relative and changing. When truth is relative, we can never stop searching for it. This seems to be the theme of a lot of thought today, the search for truth, the quest for truth. Many today are searching for truth, and we are not. We have it. All of it. You need to look nowhere else. There's no search for truth. It's right here. We have the answers. Even for those who are searching, right? We have it. It is unchanging and sure. There is one truth. It is universal and unchanging. And though Pilate is offended by the words of Jesus, even he cannot deny that Jesus is innocent of death sentence, the case of death sentence case that is before him. And after he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." MacArthur notes that John makes it clear that Jesus was not guilty of any sin or crime, thus exhibiting the severe injustice and guilt of both the Jews and the Romans who executed him. Pilate found no guilt in him. All human authority is granted by God. Pilate has no authority over this event except for what God has given to him. Jesus is sovereign over his own crucifixion, over this trial. Man, Jesus is in control of his own trial. And we know it pleased the Father to crush his Son in order to glorify himself by giving to his Son the very people he died for as a gift of love. You are a gift of love if you be in Christ, from the Father to the Son. In this moment, we see the superiority of Jesus' kingdom. The King of the Jews is about to die, but His kingdom will not be shaken. His kingdom will not be shaken. When earthly kings are killed, their kingdoms are shattered. They're divided, right? But Jesus' death has freed us from bondage, that we may take up the sword that is the Word of God, and He has empowered us by the Spirit of God to go forth and advance His kingdom, to be His messengers. Amen. His kingdom is strong. His kingdom is strong. Jesus has sent us into the world to bear witness to His word. Jesus bears witness to the truth, and so He has sent us into the world to bear witness to the truth of God that He has written in our hearts, and the Spirit has taught us through the reading and preaching and teaching of His word. In conclusion, God humbled Himself by putting on human flesh. That's mind-blowing. God humbled Himself by putting on human flesh, fulfilling the very law that He authored as a man. I love that song, "Glorious." Faithfully fulfilled the law you authored. Testifying to the very words that He has spoken from the beginning. He sat before this worldly judge and had no guilt. No guilt was found in him, but this trial continues. Jesus will be crucified by the will of the Jews in the hands of the Romans to secure for his own people eternal salvation from the wrath of God. Jesus is Savior. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords who has called his subjects to lay down their lives, take up their own crosses, and follow him. We are of his kingdom, and though we wait for the possession, we live in the reality of it now by faith. We have this hope because he is king of our heart. Amen. He's king of our mind. He causes us to desire his truth. He causes us to walk in his ways. All glory be to Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I'm going to encourage you, if you don't know this Jesus, there's salvation in no other name. If he has saved you and you're living in fear or doubt, as no doubt we all do, look to Jesus. We're of his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. We have no reason to fear. I don't know how many videos I've seen from both political parties lately on different streams, just spreading fear and chaos through their words. We have no reason to fear. We're not of this kingdom. We're of his kingdom. We exist to bring glory to him in his kingdom. This is the unfolding plan of God from the foundation of the world. And Jesus was faithful to fulfill and endure it all. And he shall be faithful to receive us unto himself. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. There is rescue and hope in no other name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are Savior. Sovereign Savior. Jesus, I thank you that you are King and Lord. Righteous King and Lord. And that you rule. And no darkness has any power over those who believe. Because you have freed us from the bondage of our sin, brought us into the kingdom, your kingdom. We thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you are truth and that you have put your truth in us. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, bolden us, Holy Spirit, empower us to go forth from this place and speak your truth. The only truth there is. In Jesus' name, amen.